Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hike continues right here on The Roar. Folks, you need to go with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Natural gas is clean, cost-effective, always there when you need it. It's cold weather season. Enjoy those cozy nights and make the most of the winter with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. Fort Hill Natural Gas has got you covered for all your needs, whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, or firing up the grill. You need to go with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low by visiting FHNGA.com today to score big on some savings. That is FHNGA.com today. Bunch of texts to get to here in hour number two. We're talking college football. We'll get to a little bit of NFL because there's a lot of NFL to talk as well later in the show. But now let's get Dustin and Greenwood in here on the phone lines. Dustin, thank you for the patience. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yes, sir. Pleasure. I know that been hearing, I'm sure everybody's heard about the North Texas thing with Garrett Riley here in the last 24 hours. But with him being a candidate, possibly a leading candidate for that head job, well, what about the Cincinnati offense coordinator? And here's some things I want to ask you about before we get off the phone with each other. What do you think, how much is, is he even a possibility? Two, how much is he even involved with the offense, being that Scott Satterfield is pretty much probably running that offense? Would be probably something to think about.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, Dustin. So when you look at Cincinnati's OC, you're talking about Dan Pitcher, correct? Or are you talking about Brad Glenn?
Glenn.
Okay, Glenn, yeah, obviously.
Bearcat.
Okay, yeah, Bearcats, not Bengals, right.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Number one on the Garrett Riley North Texas thing, I do think there's smoke there, if you want my just personal opinion on the situation.
Yeah.
I think that Garrett Riley, again, this is my opinion. This isn't source. This isn't intel. This isn't run to the message board saying facts and said this. This is my opinion. My opinion is that Garrett Riley took this job at Clemson with the intention of the contract ending and him taking a head coaching spot somewhere. That is kind of the natural progression for offensive coordinators. You take the step up to a big boy job, then you go get a head coaching job at a lower level, and then you take the head coaching leap to the big boy job. That's just kind of the natural cycle of life with coordinators. So I do think where there's smoke, there's fire, and I do think he's in consideration for that job. As far as replacements goes and what Glenn could potentially bring, and what he looks like under Satterfield, I mean, this guy's been in the coaching business for 31 years at this point, and the Bearcats offense was elite. I do think a part of that was the fact that Sorsby has the best sack avoidance and pocket presence in college football. Sorsby did a better job of avoiding sacks this year than anybody else. So I do think that, like, having an elite quarterback definitely benefited him and Satterfield within that offense. As far as, like, what the play calling distribution looks like and, like, who's calling plays and who's working with the quarterbacks more, who's more hands-on, I don't really know what that looks like up at Cincinnati, but I do think Brad Glenn's definitely a hot name for a good reason right now.
Yeah, and, you know, he's from Seneca. I graduated from Clemson, and I really like his connections there. And, where it is, we're in the hunt for a quarterback, too, so maybe you can bring Sorsby with him.
Man, that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Sorsby's a really freaking good player.
It would. Thanks for taking my call, man. I hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving, Dustin, to you and yours as well. Keep calling back in, brother. And, yeah, I mean, I know that there's a lot of names that are being thrown around right now, and that's just kind of the natural, you know, lay of the land at a time like this, John. But my opinion is that Garrett Riley is probably on his way out to take a job as a head coach somewhere. Opinion, not source, not intel, not information, opinion. And I think that's kind of like what the natural life cycle looks like for coordinators in his position.
It does. That is changing based on the hiring trends of some of these schools. Like, if everybody wants to poach, you know, it's some of the hiring preferences have changed. some of the way you climb the ladder has changed. I think I'm in agreement with you there, but I still think it's very early. We have to remember, too, that these jobs, although these ADs have been making calls for a while, they had to have known that, like, for example, that Eric Morris was going to leave North Texas, right? They should not have been caught off guard by that. But that job has only been open for about a week. And there were still games to be played, and they're also getting ready for a conference title game on Saturday, or later on this week. I can't remember if that's a Friday or Saturday game. So it's very early for some of these G5 jobs.
It is.
That they're still in the vetting process and talking to candidates. And also, Coach Riley's regular season just ended.
It did.
Like, see, I mean, like, he's now just at the time and the place where he can even start really entertaining those options. So I think it's just, it's very early.
It's early, very early in the cycle.
I think I agree with you, but I'm not all the way there thinking that, like, yeah, he's probably going to be taking a job, because I'm just not there. We've seen his name mentioned with one candidacy thus far.
Yeah, that is true. And it is also important to remember with Riley that he has a very expansive coaching tree and network tree that also extends to his brother, which, is my understanding, is a large part of why he ended up getting the job here, was Dabo picked up the phone and called Lincoln Riley. So
asked for a list of names, and then he gave him his brother as one of the names.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that is very much how that occurred several years ago.
And I don't know. Like, I think Garrett's done a good job here, man. Like, to be completely honest with you, I think Garrett's done a good job. I don't think people realize how bad things were offensively when Garrett got the job. The move was made for a reason. I thought Brandon Streeter actually brought some undeniable massive positives to this program as the offensive coordinator and play caller, including a top five red zone offense, which a lot of people neglect. I mean, coordinating a top five red zone offense with DJ Uiagalelei as your quarterback, you should get like a Nobel Peace Prize for that. Seriously, you should. That is a minor miracle that Brandon Streeter was able to conduct as efficient of an offense with DJ at quarterback as he did that year, especially with the way that things kind of unfolded for the rest of his career. But I think GR did a good job here. And I know that that's probably going to put me in the minority, and people are going to jump down my throat on the text line because it's always that darn OC that's to blame, right?
Has done. He has done.
Yeah.
It's not over yet. The man is not stopped being employed as the offensive coordinator at Clemson University. I want to make sure that we are careful here with some of our phrasing and verbiage, because he is still the offensive coordinator at Clemson University.
He is. He is as of right now. So it'll be interesting to see how everything unfolds. But I think Garrett Riley is good at his job. I think that's why he's being considered for other jobs, as it's now being reported as well that Memphis could potentially be looking to get in on the Garrett Riley sweepstakes. So it'll be interesting to see if Garrett Riley leaves, when he leaves, where he leaves to, or if he ends up staying as the offensive coordinator at Clemson. It'll be interesting to see. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. Texter says, if Dabo were to bring in a new OC, does he allow them to bring some of their own staff? We're a long way from that conversation.
He needs to, just like I was saying there needs to be open positions first.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we, for to say, well, who's the hypothetical OC and who is he hypothetically bringing with him? I don't know. What hypothetical positions are open in which to fill? Like, we have multiple steps in which to go until we get to answering some of those questions. I'm not trying to say they're bad questions. It's just, like, there's a sequence of events that have to occur.
There's a lot of Billy Napier smoke on the text line. I don't know.
No.
I'm not even going to entertain that
no.
right now. Yeah, no. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, absolutely not. I don't think it would be him or the fired coach from the Plains. I know that text has gotten it a couple of times.
John would lose his mind.
I would lose my mind.
John might quit. John might quit his job if that were to happen. If you had to come,
it'd be a non-0% chance. Yes.
If you had to come on air every day and talk Hugh Freeze offense. Oh man, I can't even imagine. Please don't hire Hugh Freeze, Dabo. If you're somehow listening to this, please. Nobody wants that. Couple texters getting in. With the way that the season has went and with the improvement down the stretch by the defense, what are some of the odds the players that would leave, assumed would leave, might stay another year, would improve their draft stock? Slim to none with Woods, Parker, Helton, Terrell. I don't mean any disrespect to the audience by this. A lot of people got in throughout the course of the season on the Adams Co-Roofing text line or on the phone line saying, well, NFL teams aren't going to draft these guys with the way that they're playing. Yeah, they are. Peter Woods is going in the top 10 of the NFL draft. T.J. Parker's going in the first round of the NFL draft. Avion Terrell's going in the first round of the NFL draft. Will Helt's being picked on day two. All of those guys are getting drafted. All of those guys are getting compensated handsomely. Regardless of what certain contingents of the Clemson fan base may think, you don't know as much about the NFL draft and evaluation process as you think you do if you don't think that those guys are still going in the first round. That's what I would say to the audience. And no disrespect meant by that. I don't disagree with 279 saying maybe there's some chance to buy some equity back, right? T.J. Parker went from a projected top five pick to a back end of the first round type of guy. But yeah, no, all of those guys are, and Texter, like, this is what I mean. Peter Woods is not going in the top 10. I 100% will guarantee you right now, 507, that Peter Woods is going in the top 10. You can hold me personally accountable if he does not go in the top 10. If he comes back to school, that's a different conversation. He's going to go to the combine and obliterate every athletic record that has been put on tape by a tackle in the last 5 years, and he will likely be closer to number one than number 10. 100% will be going in the top 10 in the NFL draft. I have an immense amount of confidence. Everybody that I trust in this business, in this industry, has him closer to 3 or 4 than they do 10 right now. 100% going in the top 10. 100%. Let's get Ernie in Greenville in here. Ernie, 654 Roar is the number. Appreciate you getting in, Ernie.
Based on my long time watching of the draft, 100% is correct.
Yes.
There are the same kind of athletes that are drafted in the top 10 from, you know, Mississippi Valley State, you know, much less Clemson. But anyway, I was calling in on Garrett Riley, and I'm going back in my mind to when he was at, he was at, where was he before in Dallas? Why am I drawing a blank?
He was at SMU and then TCU, so he had spent a good amount of time in the Dallas area.
Yeah, sorry, TCU. I mean, the final year he was there, he had, you know, a terrific lineup. Max, somebody is the quarterback, and had some great receivers. And, you know, that, you know, he was at kind of his high point value after that. You know, I don't know everything that's going on inside, but an offensive coordinator – his job is to an extent, is set up fears on the defense. You know, you establish some plays, you know, early on that are a threat to the defense. And if the players are not pulling those off, then they aren't a threat yet, and it hurts the rest of your scenario that you're going forward with. And, you know, they just didn't get, and many times did not establish those threats immediately and early on, and it was kind of a snowballing effect. And then, I think, you know, after the first game or second game, he set up some bunnies, let's call it, for Cade to hit, and those may not have hit. And so, you know, I'm not going to say he's not responsible, but you have to. You're setting up a scenario, setting up threats, and if they can't be pulled off, you know, what are you going to do as an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of great questions asked in there, Ernie. I don't know. I am always hesitant to blame the offensive coordinator, even though it's the easy
Correct.
Thing to do, because I think that so
Correct.
Much of this is infrastructure related and not play caller related. And I think the prime example of that is you look at 2023. Garrett Riley has a horrible offensive line and a first-year puppy dog quarterback that doesn't know what's going on in front of him and is seeing ghosts. And the offense isn't very good as a byproduct of that. Then in 2024, Clemson has their best pass protection since the 2020 team that went to the national championship. And Cade takes this massive leap forward and does a really good job of starting to progress and view things down the field, going through his progressions. And Garrett Riley's getting all this credit for conducting a top-10 offense. And then this year, instead of blaming what I think was the problem with Clemson all year, which was the offensive line, fans just want to jump right down Garrett Riley's throat once again. And it's not to say that the guy is perfect, and it's not to say that Clemson couldn't have been a lot better in situational football type of elements, right, where it's third and short and you should be running the ball. I get that, and he does deserve some criticism, but I think so much more of this is related to players and talent than people are willing to admit,
right.
And the easy
right.
thing to do is blame the coach, Ernie. So I think we're in agreement for a lot of this here.
Yeah, you know, you're right about the offensive line because they're part of executing the first threats that you're laying out there for the defense. And if Cade and can't set those up, and then he has there's the perfect scenario of him not having his favorite receiver. And I think setting aside those things, with Cade, I think maybe, and you would know best, I guess, maybe we underestimated the pressure that comes with what was laid out before him going into the season, all the expectations. And, I think, and you could say this both of Clemson and of South Carolina, after last year, this year was taken for granted. Maybe everybody just didn't work quite so hard. And you just figure you're going to roll the ball out there and be, just as good as you were last year. And, unfortunately, unfortunately, Cade as a quarterback, he sets the confidence for the entire team. And I'm not saying it's his fault, but that is a big part of, how you're going to play for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and I think that there was to be honest with you, like Ernie, now that we're removed from the season, I think a large part of this for Cade Klubnik and his struggles this year were mental and were between the ears. And I think a lot of that is reverting to old habits mechanically because the pressure was in his face consistently and the O-line in front of him he didn't trust. So when you fracture that trust, whether it's head coach to offensive coordinator to quarterback to O-line, I think trust is the most important thing in football. You have to trust that the guys in front of you can do their job adequately. And when I go back and I watch the tape from early in the season, Cade does not trust his offensive line to hold up, which is why he's bailing from the pockets early and why he has happy feet in the pocket. So
right.
I think a lot of this was mental. Like, I don't think you're wrong at all by saying a lot of the Cade Klubnik issues and struggles this year were very cerebral. And I think it all wraps back to the fact that he didn't necessarily trust the guys around him. And whether that's his fault or the O-line's fault, that's a conversation for a different time. But I think we're going to look back on the Garrett Riley era and think he got the short end of the stick in a lot of different ways with the teams that he had in front of him. Just to be honest.
Yeah, and maybe it's the offensive line coach. I don't know who that is, quite frankly. Skips my, again, going into the season, guys, take it for granted after a good year, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Ernie, appreciate you checking in. We got to take a quick break. Keep calling back in, brother. Good to chat with you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Quick break here on the program. We'll talk more Clemson football on the other side. People are really riled up that I said that Peter Woods is going in the top 10. Again, I'd be floored if he doesn't. Quick break here on the program. I'll explain more why after the break.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990-3075. American Doormasters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Kate Klubnik here for my good friends at Fred Caldwell Chevrolet in Clover. I've been driving a beautiful Silverado truck from Fred Caldwell for several years. I can't say enough about Martin McKinley and the Silverado guys at Fred Caldwell. They have made it so easy for me, and they can do the same for you. Text or call Martin at 704-534-1014. Yep, he will answer and handle you right over the phone. Again, 704-534-1014. And tell Martin I sent you, or visit fredcaldwellchevy.com.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app. and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at collegiatelegacydesigns.com. That's collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176. Or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Hey, Dan, that spaceship-wide lunch meeting at noon, please say it's not more astronaut ice cream and powdered orange drink.
Negatory. Ground Control hooked us up with Easy Cater, so now we can order from a galaxy of restaurants with tools to stay on budget and meet our dietary needs.
Thank heavens. My dairy tolerance and anti-gravity is not great.
And with Easy Cater, it's all on one simple platform, so we can focus on space stuff, like that asteroid. So how about tacos? Hold the cheese.
Easy Cater, a stellar way to order food for work. Order now at EasyCater.com.
Hey, it's Desmond Howard. You want to win the weekend? It all starts with the tailgate. And for me, that means Kingsford Charcoal.
They've been bringing the flavor, the smoke, and the heat since 1920. No wonder they're still the gold standard of grilling. So fire it up, feed your crew, and let the smoke do the talking. Kingsford, the king of the tailgate. Get it today at the Home Depot. Outdoers get more done.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Hey, don't be a Grinch.
Merry Christmas.
Your team might be 3-9, 6-6, 9-3, or 12-0 this season.
Oh yeah, our Christmas tree is all about our favorite sports team.
But it's still the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes,
we are your source for sports talk this holiday season. 105.5 and 97.5, we are The Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. We're coming to Scott and then Jason. I want to give one last kind of thing on the Peter Woods thing, and then we're going to put it behind us. Number one, I am not saying that Peter Woods has lived up to expectations as a Clemson Tiger these past two seasons, because I think he's going in the top 10. I talk to agents. I talk to people that are active in NFL front offices. I pay attention to the NFL draft year-round with a lot of people in the industry that I trust. I'm giving you my projection. I'm not saying I would do it if I were a GM personally. I'm not saying I think this guy is the reincarnation of, I don't even know, Mean Joe Green. Okay, I don't know. Like, I don't know who this is. I don't know what in the world Peter Woods is going to be as an NFL player. I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's going to be a bum in the NFL. What I'm telling you is, when you stack up athletically the way that Peter Woods stacks up athletically, you are going to go in the top 15 at absolute minimum and likely the top 10. I know somebody that is an active front office member for an NFL franchise right now. I was on the phone with him for about an hour the other day talking about all the Clemson stuff. We got connected at a Clemson game a few years ago. We call each other ever so often and we talk NFL, and he asked me about the Clemson guys and what my thoughts are. Their front office is in love with Peter Woods, and he said that this is a guy that the NFL has had circled since he was popping on tape as a true freshman. The measurables are there. The athletic profile is there. He stacks up as a player that's very comparable to Jalen Carter. We all know Jalen Carter, who got drafted top 10 in the midst of a scandal, and what he did and brought to the table at Georgia for the last 2 to 3 seasons that he was in school. This is a measurables thing. This is not a production thing. This is a measurables thing. Measurables. You can't teach measurables. You can't do it. So I think Peter Woods is going top 10 based off of those measurables, based off of what he has showcased on tape. And a lot of people actually are getting in on the other side of the coin here, saying that Woods has been tripled and doubled all year. I'm seeing the same thing on tape. Another couple texters are getting in and saying, nobody ran up the middle on Clemson all year. It's always to the outside and against Woods. I also agree with that. So for me, I think Peter Woods is going top 10 based on all the people I talk to in the industry, what I've seen on tape the last couple of seasons, and because I think he is an alien freak with a God-given ability unlike no other. And a texter gets in with the one thing saying his arms are short that is going to hurt him in measurables. You are correct. That is the one flaw on Peter Woods' profile, but a lot of people that I've talked to in the industry, they don't really care about that because of his versatility and switchability. I mean, this guy put an entire season of tape at edge and was productive at edge as a DT. And he's fluctuated his weight to produce at multiple different positions. I've never seen a more versatile athlete on the defensive line than Peter Woods, and I think he's very underrated, if you want me to be honest with you, because, again, DTs don't jump off the tape with traditional production metrics. Not a lot of tackles, not a lot of tackles for loss, not a lot of sacks. That's not necessarily his job, John.
No, it is not. I think he will have a first-round grade. I think the grade will be in the top half. I just, at this part of the cycle, for me personally, I don't like stamping draft selections, because all it takes is one general manager in Atlanta to decide, after giving $150 million to a quarterback, that we need to draft a quarterback with bad knees. So all it takes is one bad GM to throw off the entire take. I think he'll have a high draft grade. I don't know where he will go. Really quickly, before we get to the phones, we do have some breaking news in the college football world. Liberty co-offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Willie Korn has informed the staff that he is leaving college football to work in private business. Korn has been with Jamie Chadwell since 2010, including being his co-OC at Coastal and Liberty as well. Korn told ESPN a little bit ago, "I love coaching and I love college football, but there's always been a piece of needing to be more available and intentional at home." So Willie Korn, the former Clemson quarterback, North Greenville quarterback, is stepping away from coaching to go get into private business.
Shout out to Willie Korn. Always liked him. Good for him. Let's get Scott in Greenville in here. 654 Roar. Scott, good to hear from you.
What's up, my favorite Cowboys wannabe fan? How are you?
Please never call me that again, Scott. Please never. If we blow the division lead to y'all again, dude, I've never seen, in my entire lifetime, I've never seen a repeat winner in this division. You know that, right? There's been no repeat winner in the NFC East since I've been alive, and the Eagles had a 4-game lead 2 weeks ago, and they are in the midst of completely unraveling again.
Yep, and they got a tough one this week too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm not giving it out any wins to a team that can't move the ball. That's how you win football games. So I'm not taking any win on the calendar. I don't care if it's the JV team down the road. I don't know if the Eagles could beat the Easley Green Wave right now the way they're playing.
Hey, don't knock my green wave.
I'm not knocking the green wave. I'd take the green wave with the points. I'd take the green wave with the points right now against the Eagles. That was the point.
Hey, that's the greatest high school ever made in South Carolina, Easley. But anyway, that's why your station's there. That's why they
that's
want
exactly
to,
right.
to be close to the best.
I see it every day.
The Peter Woods talk real quick. There's a GM out there, or two or three, that thinks they can make him great. He's already got some measurables, but just like with every, I mean, there's somebody out there that you know takes a chance on these overrated quarterbacks that come out and then they bomb. There's somebody out there going to take a chance on him, and I think they're going to take him in the top 10. He's got all the measurables there. It's just, I just wonder sometimes if he had the want to or the. I know he was double teamed and triple teamed. I'm not going to say he was lazy and didn't care. I'm just saying that, you know, he just maybe wasn't feeling it that day, and I think that got a little complacent with where he was, and maybe the NIL money had contributed a lot of that to it as well. But somebody take a shot at him, and I think he'll do great in the NFL. And I do agree with you. I think he's going to be in the top 10 pick. Just based on what he's done
In
college.
And Woods, like, he just has this fluidity with his athleticism that I haven't seen in a long time playing his position. A 315-pound man should not be able to move how Peter Woods moves. It is ridiculous, and I wish he was getting another year here. And obviously, listen, maybe he makes that decision, right? I don't want to jump the gun on anything. Maybe Peter comes back. Maybe TJ comes back. Maybe these guys want to run it back like the Power Rangers ran it back. But I have to think that there's $20 to $25 million guaranteed on the table right now for Peter Woods in the NFL draft.
Oh yeah, I would think so too. Another leads me into what I was going to ask you next. If we're losing Woods and Parker and Avion Terrell and Cade Klubnik and all that, that's going to free up a ton of money that others on the team right now are not garnering and not going to require. So I think we can get in the portal and pay more than what we could in the past because we don't have all of that on our current roster and payroll and expectations there. Do you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with that, and I think that a lot of the top earners departing is going to give Clemson, oh my gosh, I'm about to use a Braves term, financial flexibility in the offseason. Yeah. Braves fans, cover your ears. Right. Oh my gosh, I know that's just PTSD for all my Bravos fans out there, but Clemson's going to have a lot of financial flexibility in the transfer portal this upcoming offseason, Scott, because with the departure of Klubnik, with the anticipated, departure of Woods, Terrell, Parker, Helt, etc., it's the NFL draft and their endeavors, there's going to be a lot of money freed up on the table for Clemson to go into the transfer portal and maybe get some big-time dogs to come in at key positions.
Right. Yeah, and I think you're right about that. And I don't understand some things. I thought we were successful in the portal last year. I don't understand against South Carolina why Cole Turner was playing over Tristan Smith. I've never understood that, and that's probably a practice. I don't know if Smith was in the doghouse or whatever, but I'm really thinking that Dabo is really going to invest some time into that portal. And get us a quarterback here, you know, that we need and to transition. I do think that Denson could be our future quarterback, but I do think he needs one more year, maybe some split play calling duties or some packages, or he gets a lot of work next year, maybe put him at the slot every once in a while or in the backfield and running some stuff out of that just to get him on the field and get him more acclimated to that college game. And he's got to put some weight on, too, man. He's going to have to put some weight and muscle on as well. He reminds me a lot of Deshaun when he came in. He says it's just a little scrawny, small kid. Deshaun was a lot taller, but just that frame was just really, really skinny, and they did wonders with Deshaun in that area. So it's going to be interesting to see how we transition in the strength and conditioning, you know, from Joey Batson over to the new guy and then, you know, kind of seeing where we go from there. But anyway, enjoying the show, guys. I hope my Cowboys continue to win out. I hope your Eagles continue to lose out. And life would just be – it was a perfect weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it was perfect for some, Scott.
Beat the Chiefs. Beat the Gamecocks. I mean
– Eagles lost to the Bears.
Yes.
Everything's turning up, Scott.
It's everything's turning. Hey, when you get your heart right and you're living right, things go well. There we are.
Appreciate
all right,
you,
guys.
Scott.
Take care, sir.
Thanks for getting in. You as well. Yeah, unfortunately, this week I'll be committing the Cardinals sin, and I'll be rooting for Dan Gamble. Gosh, I hate rooting for the Lions. But they play the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, Ford Field, Detroit, Michigan. The Lions season's on the line. The Cowboys season's on the line. Both teams are on the outside looking in the playoff picture. They're right there neck and neck in the wild card race, which is becoming jam-packed like sardines. The Panthers now have a seat at the table. The Panthers are above the Lions in the standings, right? Like that, things are just blowing my mind. The NFL is so weird this season and drunk, it's ridiculous. But I will be rooting for Dan Gamble and the Lions. So 0-9-4 and the rest of our Detroit fans to get in and give me some crap on the text line. I'm with you this week, man. Go Jared Goff. Go Lions. We're rooting for Jahmyr Gibbs. We're rooting for Dan Gamble. And we're going to hope that they can beat those Cowboys so the Eagles can fend them off in the division. Because Monday night, the Eagles take the trip out to Los Angeles to play the Chargers in SoFi Stadium. And I don't like the Eagles' chances against anybody, right? Like I said, I'd take the easily green wave with the points right now against the Eagles, the way the Eagles are moving the ball. And the Eagles are going to go three and out at least four times minimum. Highest three and out rate in NFL history belongs to the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles. And it ain't even close. Did you see the news yesterday, John, that Kevin Petullo's house got egged? Eagles fans are vandalizing the offensive coordinator's home. That's the point in the season we've reached. That's ridiculous. Those people need to be jailed. That's awful.
No, they need Jesus is what they need.
Yeah, no, that's actually terrible. And the crazy thing is, it's not even Kevin Petullo's fault. It's not even his fault. He's just the front man. He's just the front man for Sirianni, man.
Well, you're just saying that Eagles fans don't know ball.
Eagles fans don't know ball. I say that pretty frequently. I think the vast majority of our fan base sucks, which is why I'm appreciative for the people that text into our show. People that text into our show, call into our show that are Birds fans, we're usually aligned. We're usually right there, but the people that are egging people's houses, like, I can't defend that in any scenario. This is why Eagles fans get a bad rap, John. This is exactly why Eagles fans get a bad rap. You throw snowballs at Santa Claus, you're egging the offensive coordinator's house with an 8-4 record. This is exactly why you get the narrative that you get the narrative for. You earned it. Jason in Columbia is up next. I'm sure he wants to talk a little about his Niners and rivalry weekend as well. We're going all around the horn for the rest of the program. Having a blast today. Engagement's been great. Keep getting in with us at 654 Roar.
Hey, y'all. It's the Rocket Roger Clemens here. Spent a lot of time pitching heat. Years later, the pain in my joints remind me of those days, but I'm not looking to sit still, and I definitely am not interested in going under the knife. That's why I chose QC Kinetics.
Not just for elite retired athletes. QC Kinetics gives everyday folks joint pain relief using regenerative treatments that work with your body to help repair joint damage.
No surgery, no long recovery, whether it's your knees, hips, shoulders, or back. My friends at QC Kinetics will help you get moving again so you can get back to doing the things you love.
Meet face-to-face with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics to help me feel like myself again, and I'm proud to recommend them to you.
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
As the weather gets colder and sports now moves to games on hardwood floors, gridirons, and more.
At Straight Up Sports, we will keep the full court press on.
With weekly series from legendary writers Bob Gillespie and Scott Kiefer.
Plus input from Mark Sturgis and more.
You'll get that story written like days gone by.
There's also new links and videos added to the site every week as well.
You can catch this all-star lineup at Straight Up Sports on Facebook or online at straightupsports.net.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Are you ready to rock like it's Wembley 86? One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen and the Works, is coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on Saturday, December 6th. Experience the magic, the music, and the moves of Freddie Mercury in this jaw-dropping tribute that's taken the world by storm. Tickets are on sale now at WalhallaPAC.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com. Don't miss your chance to feel the thunder of Queen live in Walhalla.
You have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkey-itis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. I always think about your company being a residential tree and shrub company, but from a commercial standpoint, you guys do a great job there as well, right, Eric?
We found that trees don't care where they grow. You know, if it's at your house or if it's at your business, they're still a tree, and we love trees. We love shrubs. In fact, you know, we are the tree care company for Clemson University. So, yeah, we do a lot of commercial work. Big properties, small properties. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Your home for Clemson hoops all season long. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in. It's the final segment of hour number two here on a Tuesday with Fax and Childress and John Hyatt on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. A lot of chat on Clemson football on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. Let's get to Jason in Columbia on the phone line. 654-ROAR is the number. Jason, good to hear from you, man. How we doing?
Hey, man. Good, man. Still, man, what a great weekend. Not for the Eagles. And, you know, Faxon, as a longtime 49er fan, I absolutely hate the Cowboys. I mean, that rivalry runs deep, dude. So yeah. I'm with you. It's always hate the Cowboys week. You know, it's interesting you guys talking about Peter Woods and his draft status. It made me think of two things. The first thing it made me think of is Brian Brzee. You know, Brian had 3 years at Clemson, and Brian dealt with a lot. He tore his ACL one season, and then his last season, he had the family tragedy that he was dealing with, losing his sister in the middle of the season. And, you know, he had that, I think he had some type of maybe kidney infection or something that caused him to be hospitalized. And so my point is, you know, Brian, I don't think people would say Brian ever had a chance to really achieve his ultimate ceiling at Clemson playing those 3 years. And yet he was taken in the first round by the Saints. You know, it makes me think something similar because, as you said, he had the physical traits and he's a good kid, you know. Yeah. And I think when Peter Woods sits down to interview with people, people are going to react to him the same way.
Oh, for sure. And also, like, again, this is going to sound a bit disrespectful to Brisee, but I mean, I think that Woods is 5x the prospect and caliber prospect that Brisee is, and Brisee's actually turned into a pretty good little NFL player. Like, he's had a successful NFL career, and obviously all the adversity that he dealt with off the field goes without saying throughout the course of his Clemson career, from an injury to a family perspective. That kid was battling through a lot and still was able to play his way into the first round while being a quote-unquote underproductive player that missed a large part of a year due to injury. I think Woods is a no-brainer top 15 pick. That's like a 99.9% chance of a top 10 pick. Again, the way that John framed it is probably the better way to frame it, that that's going to be the grade, because GMs are stupid and it just takes somebody going rogue for a take to age poorly. But yeah, I think when people sit down with Woods and they realize the caliber of human that they're dealing with, on top of turning on the tape where he has just displayed an immense amount of versatility throughout the course of his career, he's shooting through gaps, he's eating double teams, he's the focal point of everybody else's game plan playing against Clemson that opposing coaches just rave about for jumping off the tape. Yeah, this is a no-brainer for anybody that knows what they're looking at in the top 10.
Yeah, and then it made me think, you know, when you're talking about how GMs draft on traits and they, you know, there's always a GM that says, I can fix him. It made me think about Lenore Sellers. I mean, certainly he had a very disappointing season similar to Cade this year, and his profile has suffered, but you still wonder, is, you know, it only takes one GM. I mean, will he get feedback from agents this offseason saying, you're still a first round dude, you know? Because, you know, if you're still a first rounder, I mean, you just got to go if you have that confidence. I mean, that's too much money to risk, even though players are making a lot with NIL. So it made me think about that as well, relative to the quarterback position. Will certainly be interesting to follow that.
I think Sellers in school. I think if Sellers can go somewhere where they're, and I don't mean any disrespect for the coaches in Columbia, Sellers needs to be in a real system with a real scheme and have a real team around him. I think his best interest is to portal, but to your point, Jason, Anthony Richardson played in like 13 total college games, dipped to the NFL draft, and a GM took a shot on him at number 4. So maybe it's in Sellers' best interest to go and hope that a GM takes a shot. Maybe it's in his best interest to portal and develop as a passer. I think that's one of the biggest storylines of the offseason in college football, is where is Lenore Sellers playing football next year, whether it's in Columbia, whether it's a portal destination, or whether it's the NFL. You're talking about a player that could impact the entire dynamic and complexion of the college football scene next year if he goes to a contender that can put a real team and supporting cast around him.
Yeah, and you got to think his decision is going to be influenced, too, by a guy like Nick Harbor. I mean, look, I don't think Nick Harbor is a polished, developed receiver by any means, but Al Davis would draft him right now if he was still alive, number one overall, because, excuse me, you just can't teach the physical skills that he has, the traits. I mean, just ridiculous. So, I mean, you know, if Harbor goes, and to me, think about it this way. We know South Carolina's going to have a new coordinator and all that. But imagine how defenses would be clamping down even further on South Carolina's offense, which is hard to imagine, if they didn't have to worry about a freak like Nick Harbor burning him over the top. If he's not there in Columbia, man, Lenore Sellers' life is going to be much harder next season if he sticks around there. And obviously, they got a free Sewell. I mean, free Sewell's got to be freed to go get a job now, third shift at the lumberyard, just like the rest of us idiots. So, but look, it was interesting when I think back on the game, and you're talking about what TJ Parker and Will Helt were able to do, and Peter Woods messing stuff up in the middle against South Carolina. I was so worried about losing Jaheim Lawson before that game because I thought, man, he would be a perfect guy to chase around Sellers. And it was so weird, man. During the game, it didn't even occur to me that we didn't have Lawson out there. I mean, that's how good the defensive line performed. So hats off to those guys. I really those guys and the offensive line dealing with all the injuries they had. And this dovetails with your discussion about Garrett Riley. I'm honestly up in the air, guys. There's a part of me all season long that was just kind of like, well, it might be a good idea for just both parties if they just go their separate ways and give everybody a fresh start. I do believe Garrett Riley is a talented guy with a bright future. And yet there is that part of me, man, when I'm watching Cade airmail touchdowns and then undersell it for the interception, I'm like, I would love to see, there's part of me that would love to see Garrett Riley with a functional offensive line and a quarterback who can be counted on to read the field.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of up in the air on Garrett, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I've given my take on Garrett Riley a ton of times, and I would say I'm in the minority in comparison to the majority of the fan base. My main gripe with Garrett Riley isn't anything from a schematic standpoint or from it's situational football, and it's not running the ball and being balanced. Yeah. But I actually thought in the last six games he did a great job of doing that. And I think the South Carolina game was a prime example of that. So, yeah, I mean, I wish Garrett the best, whether he's the offensive coordinator here next year or whether he's the head coach somewhere next year. I think it goes without saying that everybody in the industry views him as one of the rising stars in this industry. I mean, he run the Royals award at like 30 years old, which is just absolutely unheard of on the offensive side of the ball. He conducted an offense that put up 51 points in a college football playoff game against Michigan, who was cheating and stealing signs. So that deserves credit on its own. Garrett's brilliant, man, and it hasn't necessarily panned out to the fullest of its ability here for an onslaught of reasons. But yeah, I think very highly of Coach Riley, and I really respect him. I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I just like the guy, what I've seen of him. I like his sideline demeanor. He seems like a cool customer, and I agree with you. My biggest beef has just been kind of some of the situational things. And here's where it further the water gets muddied. You know how Clemson fans are. There's a large contingent of the base that says that's Dabo meddling when we see the Peter Woods out on the field on the goal line and fumble, or we see the trick play to Chap Pendergrass. So I don't know how much is just 100% Garrett calling plays and maybe if Dabo has an influence. But I agree with you. It seemed like Garrett settled in. The fact that he stuck with the run against South Carolina, and we saw – I'm pretty sure we saw zero trick plays. I mean, I don't count that direct snap to Antonio as a trick play. I love that. I wanted to see Antonio utilized in that fashion, and it was a 9-yard play. So the fact that we had no trick plays against South Carolina, which is one thing I was begging for, that gave me that hit really nicely. So I don't know, guys. I'm kind of with you. I think a lot of the stuff that maybe the last 3 years we've slung at Garrett Riley as a fan base has not really been 100% his fault, and maybe in a different situation, whether that's here next season with a healthy offensive line and a different quarterback, or if that's somewhere else, I think he still has a chance to be a very successful guy.
I don't disagree with you in the slightest. Jason, appreciate the phone call, and get back in before the end of the week on your Niners. I have much to discuss and pick your brain about.
Man, we got to talk about that Brock Purdy Dougie sometime, for sure.
Yeah, that is for sure. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for getting in. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We'll take phone calls in the upcoming segment here. Don't want to cut anybody off here at the top of the hour. We'll talk more Clemson football, more general college football. I do want to get into a little bit of the NFL as well, because this is one of the craziest NFL seasons I can ever remember, man. It's unbelievable how much parity there is within this league. It's unbelievable. Have you looked at the odds for the AFC, John? There's like 9 teams that can realistically win the AFC right now. It's mind-boggling what's happening in that league.
Well, 8 and the Steelers.
Yeah, 8 and the Steelers.
I don't take them very seriously.
Yeah, I don't think it's even all Aaron Rodgers' fault, even with suffering the injury. I just don't know if it's the run game. That's what it wraps back to me, too.
Defense isn't good.
And the defense has not been as good. Now there's a little bit of drama, allegedly, with Mike Tomlin. There's just a lot going on right now in Pittsburgh. So we'll see how all that works out and transpires. But there's a lot of intrigue in the NFL right now, and that much is for certain at minimum. We also got to get back into some rivalry week matchups in review mode here on a Tuesday. I want to talk Texas A&M and Texas. I thought that Arch Manning was going to hoop and Texas was going to win, and that's exactly what happened. Arch Manning needs to declare. I hate to say it. It's a weak quarterback class. I think on the last 7 weeks of tape alone, arches a top 15 to 20 pick in the NFL draft if we're talking quarterbacks. And I think that it makes more sense for him to go. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but ever since he has stopped wincing every time he's throwing the ball, and he's playing great football again. I think Arch has quietly become one of the more underrated players in college football, and I'll walk that out a little bit more on the other side. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Arch Manning on tape right now. I think the kid is absolutely unbelievable. We also have to get to Ohio State and Michigan, where Michigan headbutted a ref and got away with it, and then a controversial touchback touchdown swung the whole pendulum in a game. We'll get to that. Ohio State was clearly the better team. That goes without saying. And then we also got to talk a little Oregon, Washington. Dante Moore puts on a show. Another dude I think needs to declare, especially with the Will Stein news going to Kentucky, which we also have to get to. A ton to get to, goes without saying, in the final hour of the program. We'll take William's phone call as well as a few others. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in with Vaxson and John.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560.